Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron here at www.TheMatthewAaronShow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at The Matthew Aaron Show. Click follow. You can listen to all our previous podcasts at Apple Podcasts, or where we are most popular lately, that is Spotify. Spotify is your one-stop shop for podcasting, and we have 278-some episodes there that you can go check out. We are here today. My guest is going to be Lana of the WWE, CJ Lana Perry, for those who aren't familiar. Lana is one of the biggest divas right now currently in the WWE. She was on the highest rated segment of Raw all year when she got married to Bobby Lashley. You can find her on Twitter at LanaWWE, at LanaWWE. She's on Twitter. I believe Lana's on Instagram. You can find her on Instagram at TheLanaWWE, TheLanaWWE. And she's now on TikTok at TheLanaWWE3, TheLanaWWE3. And without further ado, let me tell you that you're about to hear one of the best interviews I've done in quite some time. We had a blast. She deserves all her success. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lana, and I hope you learn a lot more about her from this interview. Thank you. And we will see you tomorrow with Lisa Guerrero. For people that don't know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I think they do know, because we talk about it quite often. And so I saw the pictures for you doing, CJ, you were doing this film with Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo. And I'm like, oh, Frank's a buddy of ours. Good for her. You're getting out there. I got to tell you, my favorite thing about you right now is your new TikTok, which people can see at, is it WWE Lana?
Oh my gosh, it's so complicated, because everyone already like had taken it. I'm like, are you kidding me? So it's actually the Lana WWE 3. The number 3 at the end.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, I couldn't be creative.
Wrestling fans are a different beast, and they kind of like are intense that I'm sure they all took all the handles for your name before you even got a chance.
Yeah,
that's just how it goes. But my nephew, who I raise and I live with, he loves your TikTok, and he saw the pew pew pew.
Oh my God.
The one you just did. Yeah. It's a chopper. Yeah, he did that video himself. And I'm like, well, why don't you just duet it with her video? And he's like, oh, no, I can't.
Oh, my God. It's because I'm a bad guy.
Yeah, he's
so
a
like,
big...
Because people love me, but they'll never admit it. And your nephew, is it your nephew?
Yeah, he's a big Rusev fan, but less of a Bobby Lashley fan. He's smiling right now. He's like, mm-hmm. we all love Rusev.
People secretly love me, but they're going to all be like, no, we can't acknowledge it. We hate her.
Yeah, that's crazy. You have a lot of haters. What's the deal with that? Have you figured it out?
I realized that I, you know, really connect. I have such a love-hate relationship with definitely the WWE universe, which is great. I'm so thankful for it. I think about it all the time, because I'm like, they so passionately hate me, but also can on a switch, like a light switch, all of a sudden passionately freaking love.
Right. Yeah. That's
both
exactly
weeks
how it
they
is.
Were kidding. We want Lana.
Yeah, right.
I was like, wait, what?
Well, and
I
for people that don't
in
know,
my bed cracking up.
I know it's hilarious. For people that don't know, you had the highest rated segment of the year, which is the wedding angle with Bobby. You guys, your wedding was the highest rated thing WWE's done all year.
Oh my God.
So
I didn't even know that. That's incredible.
Oh, you didn't know that? I mean, yeah, that was a huge hit. That was a big, big deal.
I mean, I knew we were like probably like one of the highest because, I mean, of course, the Robert Stein restaurant lawn is always the highest. But like actually hearing that, I'm like, wow.
I just think for as much shit as you're given on Twitter, you deserve to know all the accolades that you get as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think
you're so good at your character. That's why people are so rough on you sometimes.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And I think that, like, especially going into the story and returning on Monday Night Raw in the season premiere this year, which just was so incredible to me to be able to have that opportunity. I knew this was a huge, huge opportunity. I heard the story and I knew like it was just such a huge opportunity. And I remember thinking like, my personal opinion, CJ's personal opinion is that like, we don't have a lot of heels that, a lot of bad guys, a lot of villains, people that, I guess most of people are listening probably are wrestling fans. If you're not a wrestling fan, heel means for wrestling terminology, a bad guy or a villain. But I just felt like there was a lot, like sometimes people lack like committing to it so much and being selfless, like understanding. And it took me a couple of years to really like being constantly working. If I was either wrestling at live events or wrestling on TV or, you know, managing like all these different things of really understanding, like, to be a really, to have a good guy, if you need to have a super good guy or super, superhero, like you don't need one unless you have like a hated villain. And to be like a hated villain, you do have to like be selfless and understand like at the end, you are going to lose. At the end, you might be the laugh of the joke. But the more you commit to it, then the reaction that is going to be at the end when you lose or, you know, you're being laughed at, you're in control of that reaction. Like the more you commit to everything throughout, you're at the control at the end. And so really understanding that, like, I have the responsibility to commit to be hated so much. The more I commit to being hated, then the more people are going to cheer for the person who went against me. And I think it was just like, really, really obvious. I think there's so many people that want to be like these cool bad guys. Like they want like to be like cheer booed and, or be like popular or, you know, like be kind of loved. And it's like, no, I want to be hated because I knew then there's going to be so much more of a payoff. And not only that, it's like, I knew then I am having control of the reaction at the end. I'm controlling people laughing at me. I'm controlling people, you know, cheering for the other guy. Like that, I'm in
exactly because if we're not booing you, see, because you playing a bad guy's bad guy means that now more people are getting on Rusev's side. You know, Rusev, you're putting him over to a degree to where he gets a more, because Rusev, for those that don't know, Rusev and Lana started out as the Bulgarian Brute and the Ravishing Russian, and they were bad guys. They were kind of like out of the mold of Rocky IV with Dolph Lundgren and Brigitte Nielsen. And then Rusev Day
were bad, bad guys.
Yes. And then Rusev Day really got over. And they kind of were forced to make Rusev a good guy. It's just the fans would not boo him anymore. Everyone wanted to see Rusev. And you came back with Rusev, and everyone was like, okay, cool. And then you turned on him, and you went with Bobby Lashley. And so what people need to understand is when you and Bobby play these real bad guys who don't want to get cheered at all, you don't try to be cool, you don't try to be hip about it, you're not the NWO, you're actually helping Rusev and Liv Morgan become better good guys because people want to see you guys get your comeuppance, you and Bobby. So to explain for the audience that may not be aware of how it works, that's how it works. Yeah. And Lana does a great job at getting you to boo her and Bobby Lashley because Lana makes everything about Lana. And And yep. it's a funny character, but at the same time, it's one of those characters like Sensational Sherry where you can't cheer. You're just like, enough.
Yeah.
So you're great at it. You're great at it. I just feel bad when I watch you put out videos defending yourself against haters because I'm like, don't defend yourself. You're great. That's why they're giving you the hate. That's why they're riding you so hard because you're doing so great. I just wish wrestling fans were better at separating reality from wrestling.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no reason to cut a promo on Lana's TikTok, you know, or her Instagram. That's her right. real life. That's CJ. And I see this on Twitter all the time where wrestling fans cut promos on real life characters.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like real life people. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's literally hysterical. And like sometimes actually the TikTok thing was like the one thing that really got to me because it was like, I don't care if people like, I'm so like, I have such thick skin at this point. And that's partly the reason why on Instagram, I don't post anything of my family.
Yeah. Right.
Like very rarely do I post my sibling. Very rarely. Like I stopped doing that because it was back in 2014 when we were doing the super like, Rocky IV, like you said, you know, very like patriotic towards Russia. Like to me, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic to your country. Well, all of the United States of America decided to come onto my Instagram. And like, if I would post a picture of my nephew that was like literally 3 weeks old, they would be like, he's the ugliest baby in the world. We hope he dies. USA, USA.
Oh my God,
you're so sick.
Yeah.
Like, people are sick. Like, what is wrong with you? You know? And like, really people can be such bullies and insane to me. So I stopped like posting like anything of my family because I'm like, I don't want like people are not sensitive. Normal people are not as like tough as like WWE superstars that we're just used
skin.
To people coming.
You need to have thick
yes,
skin.
Yes, you know? So when I posted the TikTok video on Twitter, you know, and by the way, I started TikTok in this quarantine time.
I noticed you just started.
I'm like, what else are we supposed to do? You know, like I usually am doing 100 things a day, you know, traveling 300 days of the year in acting class, writing a comic book, doing fashion shows, you know, doing, producing a movie, filming a movie, you know, like all different things. So for me just to stay in one spot, I'm like, of course I want to be doing TikTok videos and 10 other things.
You got to keep busy.
I'm like just trying to have fun. Yeah. And just like have fun. And in this time that is, things are not so fun. And so I posted it and people just were so mean. And it was the first time that I was just like, I almost deleted it. I almost deleted that tweet because I was just like, it got to me that people in this time that there is a worldwide virus that we're in quarantine. People still have the audacity to come on Twitter and be so mean.
Well,
and I'm just like, wow,
there's wrestling fans that still want you guys to perform. They still want to, they're mad they can't show up. AEW canceled Blood and Guts this week, and I saw all these people on Twitter going, why'd you cancel it? Well, it's 11 dudes in a cage with blood like you and sweat. Someone can get someone, if someone has it, you can get sick. And there's just this lack of understanding. And this is not all wrestling fans.
Totally.
Most wrestling fans are great. Like, most wrestling fans are like my nephew,
totally.
Who their dream is just bumping into you or Ali or Rusev outside the arena and, like, marking out, right? That's most wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. But there's a sector of the crowd that you don't get if you're the Rolling Stones, that you don't get if you make movies or you make TV, that are just out to hate. Because with like music, you like who you like and you don't go out of your way to bother who you don't like. In wrestling, there are certain wrestling fans that are like, I am so passionate about wrestling. It's real to me that they're going to like go after certain people. It's just, it's really inappropriate and it's unique to wrestling superstars because no one else has to go through what you guys really go through. Maybe politicians. That's about it.
I think politics, yeah, I think politics, I mean, I think athletes, like,
yeah,
you know, with football players, basketball,
sport teams,
like,
yeah,
you know, if you're on, you know, yeah, certain sports teams, if you're on, you know, if you're the Lakers and, you know, if a Lakers fan, you're not going to like the Celtics. I think there's, like, certain rivalries that are there that people are, but I still don't think they go as close to as, like what you're saying. You described it perfectly, like analyzed it to a T. But I think politics for sure.
Yeah, right.
That's probably legit the closest. Yeah.
Yeah, because people get very passionate about it and attack people without knowing anything really about them.
Oh my gosh. So, it's insane to me. So,
and that's the thing. I remember I said, even one of my friends said to me, they're like, which diva was it? I forget which diva. He didn't like some diva. And it sounded real personal. And I'm like, dude, you don't even, you don't know her. Like it's okay to like hate, yeah, her character, but you're like judging her as to being this like awful person. We don't,
yeah,
know who she is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like you,
yeah,
have,
yeah,
to
definitely,
separate
definitely.
The two. Separate the two.
Yeah.
Is what I'm always, yeah, like urging wrestling fans to do. You know, it's hard because I think wrestling fans don't want to believe you guys are playing a role. They don't want to believe that,
oh,
this
for
is,
sure,
yeah,
definitely,
this is character acting, if you will.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
People want to just buy into it completely. And it's like, it's fine. It is, you know, I'm very grateful and I take it for what it is. I mean, all the hate that comes, like, I just go, okay, cool. You know, I'll take it. All, you know, the more you hate me, then I'm doing my job.
Right.
So
the more you
I
hate
like
her, the more money, the more you hate her, the more money she makes.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Pretty much.
Because Vince is sitting,
yes,
back,
you,
and
thank you.
Vince loves controversy. And if you draw in,
yeah,
a lot of, like, you know how it is with social media and stuff. If you're drawing in a lot, mm-hmm, of controversy, there's a 5-year deal,
yeah,
with a number attached to it. So you're only helping her make more money. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So
that's why I appreciate the fan.
You talk about traveling 300 days a year. Now, with other promotions, mm-hmm, you don't have to do as much traveling. What to you makes you love working for the WWE, where things like traveling 300 days a year is a positive less than a negative?
I was actually just thinking about this, filming Cosmic Sin, and just thinking, you know, how you have to go, stop, go all the time, you,
mm-hmm,
know, or it's like one take, you know, like we were shooting it so fast. So we were getting like 2 takes.
Yeah,
one,
that's,
you had no choice.
To me.
Do it perfect your first. Yeah, do it perfect your first time, and then we're gonna get a second take for safety because we have to shoot this entire film before we have to be shut down.
Sure.
So it is what it is. So that was, you know, luckily in WWE, you have to go out there and I'm used to having only one take. If you do it wrong, then it's trending all over on Twitter. And in some cases I do it wrong on purpose, so it gets trending all over on Twitter. I think that I really was thinking, I was like, you know, that's why I love WWE so much. And I love our fan base. And there's nothing like it in the world because of that instant gratification that you have of performing live. It's that adrenaline rush, and you don't have that. And, you know, comedians have that, and dancers,
yeah,
they have that, you know. Yeah. And so I was like, because I really started to think theater has it, but it's still a little bit different of a vibe.
Right.
And, but I mean, it is live. It's still live. At the end of the day, you're still performing live. And there's, you know, ballet, and I used to be a ballet dancer. I used to be a professional dancer. And it's like, I think that adrenaline rush of that energy, of that relationship that you have with the crowd, that relationship you have with the audience, where literally it's like music,
yes,
and dictating their reactions. And there's nothing like it. And that's how I go 300 days of the year.
I was going to say,
literally a high.
Yeah, because even with improv,
yeah,
and,
you know,
even with improv and comedy theater, I can't enjoy the laughs or enjoy the applause because the show has to continue. But when you're wrestling, and when you're a wrestler, you can kind of play with the crowd. which is something you can't really do in anything except stand-up comedy, like you brought up, which, by the way, that's a brilliant comparison. Stand-up comedy is probably the closest thing to wrestling where the crowd reaction dictates your performance. Because you really don't know while you're performing whether you are killing it or not in other fields. And with movies and TV, like you said, you're doing this movie right now. Well, it's kind of like, well, I feel like I'm giving a good performance. Let's see how they edit me. You know, let's see how the finished product comes out. And then people...
Exactly.
So there's a long waiting period to feel how you did in that. I mean, I've made three movies, and all three movies I'm kind of like, okay, I guess I'll find out in a year how I did. You know, so this is immediate.
Yeah.
This is immediate. And,
even with TV and movies, you're never going to perform. You're never going to do it live.
No,
you're never going to get that one reaction. Like you're never going to, and that's the thing that I love about it so much. That's the thing. Like of course I'm going to always want to do this. Like, what else am I going to do that's going to give me this feeling? What am I going to become a comedian? I don't know how to get people to laugh like with me. I only know how to get people to laugh at me.
Well, it's great that you're broadening your horizons though with acting, because I feel like a lot of the talents in the WWE, you know, the Freddie Prinze used to talk about how when he was with the WWE, he would work with all the talent on acting. And that was his job, to like get you to be in character and to a degree, find your character. I feel like there's a couple talents there that could be really great actors. And look at what Dwayne's done, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and even Stone Cold was a pretty decent action actor. And you did great in a romantic comedy, and now you're doing a sci-fi flick. And I'm going to tell people at home, you don't get cast in a Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo movie for shits and giggles. You have to have talent. You have to be good. So that's awesome for you. I'm glad that you're branching out like that.
Thank you. I love sci-fi. I'm such a big sci-fi fan. So cool to be in a sci-fi movie. I'm such a huge Star Wars super fan and Star Trek. So
yeah, you
I'm
get
really
to wear
excited.
The coolest costume I've ever seen. I mean, it looks like, you know, it looks
oh
like
my
a sci-fi
gosh, the
movie.
Costume was sick. Yes, the costume was so sick. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with my costume and my gun.
It's huge sick. Gun. And you sick, changed sick, your sick. You changed yeah. your hair for the role. It's not the typical blonde Lana we know. So it's totally, you've become a character for this film. I'm really looking forward to it. And that's interesting that you talk about Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff, because we kind of knew that your husband, Rusev, he's kind of a comic book, like pop culture aficionado. I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that you guys share that similarity.
Yeah, I'm a big comic. I guess I would say I hate to use the word comic nerd because then I get attacked.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, you're not a nerd. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm so sorry I used that word.
Hot people can be nerds too.
I know. Like, why are we stereotyping? Like, I don't even understand what that means. But anyways, I'm a huge. So ridiculous. I can't, people just want to drag me. It's fine. You know, you're talking about me. So this is all about me.
But I mean, I think what it is people go to Comic-Con and like, there aren't a lot of women that look like you at Comic-Con. So when they hear that you're a comic book nerd, they're like, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
Are
can happen.
Comic-Con? No. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So yeah, I'm a huge, actually like a funny story about all of that is that, so I grew up in a very, like strict, like religious home. And so I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of things. Only PG stuff we were allowed to watch, and, you know, very, very strict. But because you know, I was able to, I was allowed to watch Star Wars and Batman and Back to the Future, like all of these movies were PG. Star Trek, like every Sunday we would watch Star Trek with my mom, and, you know, all the Batmans and all the Star Wars. My mom is obsessed with sci-fi. And so we would just watch these on repeat. We would have VHSs and we would just watch them because we weren't allowed to watch, like we weren't even allowed to watch like Home Improvement or Step by Step. Oh my God. They're like, wow. They're like, the kids are rebellious. You guys can't watch it.
And speaking of rebellious, that you ended up being the most.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah.
How is everybody?
That's why, honestly, I think a lot of it helped define like the things that I want. Because to me, that was normal. I never looked at it like, oh, a nerd. To me, it's so weird. Me and Zelina Vega are really good friends. And we had this discussion one time. And because she was like, yeah, I grew up, you know, to me, playing video games growing up and watching, like, you know, all these comic movies and Star Wars, like, to me was normal. Like, that's normal to me. That's what you do as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And because I have two brothers, so playing video games, like being around that all the time, was very normal. And we only had one TV, and so we all had to learn how to share. And she said that she was like, she told me she was like bullied a lot for wanting to watch like comics and you know, being a Batman fan and playing video games. And I was like, because to me, that's completely normal, right? Like, I'm like, I don't understand, like, why you were bullied. To me, that's completely normal. She's like, well, you were also, to you, normal, what, like, you were a ballerina who went one day and grew up with people playing, you know, playing video games and comics. So your idea of normality is very off to begin with, because it was like, all I did was, like, go to church and do ballet. And, you know, so to me, like, my form of normality was very, very different, because I guess I was really sheltered as a kid growing up. All I did was 40 hours of ballet, my academics. And so I was like, oh, I just never looked at, like, I never put that in a category of, like, nerd. I just, to me, that was normal.
Was all those years of ballet, they've been useful to you as a wrestler, I'm guessing?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think the most I can say that it is the discipline. It's so discipline, and so just, and taught me how to be disciplined in life. If it was either for acting or wrestling or anything, it's just like, okay, you just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to do it, you do it.
So you guys are performing now in front of an audience of zero, at least live. When you're going to do WrestleMania this week, have you talked to anybody? Like, what has been like the superstars' reactions to performing for nobody in a live setting? Like, what's going to be different? What's going to be the same? How have you guys adjusted as a group?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really interesting because I've reached out. I haven't seen any of the girls since, you know, Saudi Arabia before. And that was the last time I was on television. And I have been reaching out to like several of them just to see like, how are they coping and adapting with the quarantine and the whole situation. And like everyone, it's been like adjustment for everyone. I think that the people that who have been on and they just said it's really like, it's just, you're not performing in front of a crowd. It's so different. And I've been watching all of it, as, you know, and now like just trying to mentally prepare myself, like, okay, mentally prepare myself. If I have promos, if I have like, you know, if we have matches, if I'm ringside or if I'm in the match, and just being prepared. And I think for me personally, cause it's like a huge shift to watch it. It's like, whoa. And you really realize, like, I always knew the crowd was a part of the show, but it's like, no, the fans, that's why I just like, I love our fans so much, you know, and it my love-hate like, relationship.
It feels like, for me, the way you got to adjust and the way I've seen from watching Raw and SmackDown is it's just more personal now. You are not playing to the fans anymore. So if you have a grudge with Rusev, you and Bobby Lashley, or who you guys face at WrestleMania, Aleister Black, if you have a grudge with Aleister Black, you're basically just getting in his face. And this is personal, and this is a vendetta, but there's no longer you playing to the crowd. This is now just about you two and Aleister Black, no fans. And that seems to be what the difference seems to be.
Yeah, I feel like I completely agree with you. And I feel like it's almost like an adjustment. Like, it's almost like we have to sit back and readjust everything, readjust how we're kind of performing, because it is now almost not, I don't want to be like a television, really like a television show. But I mean, it's obviously it is a television show, but like I'm talking about like just regular scripted drama.
Yeah.
Television.
Yeah, you know? That's what it feels like now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like it just changes. Everything changes. And everything that you're saying, like it has to be, we have to personalize it so much more. And so what's happening, in my opinion, is that if all, now you really see who's good and not who's not who hides behind the crowd.
Yeah.
Like you really see, you're like, oh, that person's indicating like, oh, that's such a wrestling promo, or versus like, no, that's complete. I mean, Edge, that was is so incredible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, oh, that's the reason why you're on Vikings.
Yep,
you know, that's the reason
actor.
Why you were on 11 seasons. Yes, you are an actor. And so, cause it's just real.
Yep.
He just talks like a normal person.
And,
like
and
wrestling,
Randy.
Slow promo.
And Randy's great too. That whole feud has been.
Yeah.
That's your main event for WrestleMania.
Oh my God. Incredible.
That's your main event.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, my
incredible.
Nephew is so disappointed because we were going to Tampa for WrestleMania. And every day I hear, oh, I was going to get to see Undertaker. Oh, I was going to get to see Edge. It's so sad. Like this coronavirus,
I know.
Has been, yeah,
I know.
It's affecting everybody. But what's interesting is, and I wanted to bring this up on the air just to kind of so people know, your husband Rusev, he has pledged $20,000 towards the employees of the WWE that are not currently working. And I just wanted to say what a classy gesture that is. Really, really, really great. I just wanted to bring that up because I know.
Thank you.
I mean, oh my God, that's, you know, I gotta say this, and you don't have to respond to this at all, but as a fan, the only thing I will say as a fan is we all very much love Rusev. I think this is an overwhelming thing. And he's also great on social media. He's great with PR. He's a superstar. He is a star. And we just really wish he would get treated as such, as a star. And hopefully moving forward, whether that's with the WWE or whether that's with somebody else, he is treated as the top level talent that he deserves to be. You've broken through. Lana's broken through. She is top level talent as a diva. On the female side, but Rusev, we really want to see him. I mean, we would love to see him in a world title feud or a universal title feud.
Mm-hmm.
We just love Rusev. So I just wanted to let you know, you did well picking out husbands. You did great. You did great.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about WWE, it's like we all have our journeys and life is a wave and everything comes in and out. And like, that's the one thing that my life has taught me. And it's like, you know, life is a wave. It's not just our careers. And like, there's so many different times that I feel like, oh my God, what is happening? I'm having like emotional breakdowns. Like I'm so sad. And I always have to remind myself that it's like, we're like an arrow. And when we get pulled, like the go forward, you have to be pulled back. And I think, you know, if you look at Kofi Kingston, it took him 10 years to become WWE champion. And he's one of the greatest, you know, one of the all time. He's incredible in the ring, incredible entertainer, incredible actor. And, you know, he's just a great example. Now we all have our different journeys. And, so that's what I'm going to say about that.
That's actually a really great answer. I think people that are smart enough to have followed wrestling long enough kind of realize the cream does rise to the top whenever that is, but they do. You can't deny talent. You can only deny it for so long before people demand it. Look at Daniel Bryan with WrestleMania 30. Only deny talent for so long before the people are just like, okay, we're going to make you give us this talent. So that's great. I mean, you've really risen up. You've always been really great on TV and always had a prominent role, but you really rose up this year, and we're putting the main event level type feuds. How comfortable were you going into the main event? Were you like, this is where I belong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Great. I've been waiting and I've been like, give me that microphone. Give me that microphone. And there's been a lot of times, some really hard times sitting back and watching some really bad promos. Mm. And I'm just like, give me that microphone. Like, you don't put the great wrestlers in the back. And, you know, it would be like if I had a WrestleMania match, an Iron Man WrestleMania match for an hour and a half. There would be a lot of pissed off wrestlers in the back.
Yeah.
And because they're better maybe technicians than me. Yeah. And that's how I feel with a lot of people on the microphone. And I would be, I knew I could talk circles around that. Give me the microphone. I'll just devour you.
Yeah.
And so, but I just had to wait. I had to wait my, you know, I was the first couple of years given a lot of microphone time. And, then I had other stories, and SmackDown, we had a 2-hour show, so you don't have as much mic time period for anyone. And there's less spots for it. And so I just had to wait, you know, and I just remember Paul Heyman giving me such great advice in the beginning of my career. He said, whatever you're given, blow it out of the park, even if it's just 10 seconds, literally grab that brass ring. And that's what I've been doing. If I'm on Mixed Match Challenge, Facebook Watch, I'm grabbing that brass ring. I'm grabbing that brass ring from Instagram. I'm grabbing that brass ring from YouTube. I'm grabbing that brass ring from Twitter. Whatever opportunity is given to me, I grab that brass ring. And if it's not given to me, I create my own opportunities.
Yeah,
your
passion.
My ship keeps on sailing.
Yeah, your passion's obvious.
Yeah, I'm creating TikTok right now.
Right. Your passion is super obvious. It you can see that you give 110% effort every time that you're out there. That's great that you brought up that piece about Paul Heyman, because I was going to ask you what you've learned from working with Paul and Vince on SmackDown, and I mean on Raw with Dave Kapoor and Vince and Paul Heyman. What do you think you've taken from those guys that's bettered your game?
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much from all of them. Like life lessons as well as like career lessons. I think that, you know, with Vince, I've learned so much. Like life lessons I've really learned. And like, you know, just take responsibility when you're wrong, be ready to make mistakes, but don't make the same mistake twice. Like, you know, understand like in life, you're going to give it your all and you're going to make some mistakes, but you have to take responsibility for it. You have to learn from it, take ownership, and don't do it ever again.
Yeah.
And I think that's like such a strong lesson. Like it's so like, that's such an important lesson to understand. And like take responsibility when you're wrong and make sure you don't ever do it again. And, you know, so I could go on long details of things that I've learned from Vince.
Sure.
And, but with Paul, like Paul, I've learned so much. You know, it's been great to work with two different incredible showrunners over the year. Like I worked with Road Dogg on, you know, he was our producer the first couple of years when we were on the road. And then he was the showrunner on SmackDown for the 2 years we were over there. And I learned so much from him. And both Road Dogg and Paul Heyman are incredible, both incredible on the mic.
Yeah.
And so there was just like the be on a show where the showrunner has actually been a talent and has been out there and knows from their own experience. Same with Triple H, you know, when he was always coming to Raw and SmackDown, like just learning so much from, like, you have to go with your instinct. You have to go with your gut. And at the end of the day, when you're out there, you have to follow your instincts because there's nothing like it. I think that's like a huge lesson that I've learned from both of them. I've learned just television in general. Like,
yes,
you know, this
I
is
was
a television
say, it's great
show.
For acting, period, is just follow your gut.
Yes.
Because if you're as talented
yes.
as you are, because if the talent's there, that's not the issue. It's the decisions. It's the decisions you make as an actor, as a talent. And that usually comes from your brain and your gut. And try not to have one get in the way of the other. I think that's great. It's obviously been, I think we've seen you really break out on Raw. And I think it's really obvious.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Yeah, I just...
I think that's a lot of, like, honestly, Paul Heyman, that's where I have to, like, thank Paul Heyman so much. Because it's like, growing up, one of my favorite characters watching was Paul Heyman. Like, I wanted to be in the wrestling business because of Paul Heyman, because he told the story. And that's the thing is, when people are like, what are you? Like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, I'm a storyteller. Because my whole life I've told stories. If it was either Swan Lake or the Nutcracker or Giselle, or it was acting, or it was wrestling, or if it's Instagram posts to TikTok, the Cosmic Sin, the one thing that is all in there is that it's a story. It's a story, and I'm entertaining, putting smiles on people's faces. And I went to Paul and I was just like, please mentor me. This is years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I would watch him nonstop, learn, you know, just please teach me. I want to be the first female you, but I don't want to be you. I want to be the first Lana. I want people to be like, oh my God, we want to be like Lana, you know, just like how I'm like, oh my God, I want to be like Paul Heyman. I've just been so fortunate to be given these amazing opportunities. And it was just about waiting and continuing to train. Like, I kept on wrestling and training regardless if I was told, no, you're not going to wrestle anymore. I kept on training. I kept on learning. I kept on going to acting classes. I kept on studying promos. Like, one, and it's so important to study so you're prepared, because one light promo, they didn't cut Miro and I, they didn't cut all the things from the production side, didn't happen. They didn't cut Bobby, like, music didn't happen, all these different things didn't happen. So we just had to make it. Good thing I'm an incredible actress.
Do you get to have any input? Do you get to have any input on your promos? Do you help write them? Do you help develop them? Or is it just written for you and kind of directed through?
I think that, you know, we definitely, it just depends on the situation. Sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes it's like Vince wrote it and
yeah, right.
Or
not changing
Vince will
a word
tell you
of
what
that.
To say. And yeah. And so that's that.
That's that.
And that's that. It's great. You know, sometimes there's been a couple of times, like, actually the promo where it went viral and everyone was like, oh my gosh, you can't remember her words.
Yeah.
It was very specific that they wanted me to mess up my words because I was so in love. Oh my God, he has me so flustered. And I was reading it and I remember, like, Bobby was like, this should be changed, like all these different things. And I was just like, cool with me. And I was, so I went and asked Paul, I was like, and he performed it for me. And I was like, oh, okay, I got it. Like, I got it. It made sense to me. And so sometimes sometimes I just need to be explained to, like, what, oh, okay, I get it now. And so I went and I did exactly how Paul did it. And the thing went viral.
It's directed.
And it was like, everyone was like, oh my gosh, messed it up. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's where he's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Where Paul is so brilliant, because he would do things and it's where they would do things to get people to talk about it. And it was like, it was heat. It was heat, regardless, it was heat, you know? And it was like, they were so brilliant with this story. Like, there was this one thing that it was Vince's idea. And I was like, well, off the commercial break, was you see some, like, falling in, right? The crowd.
Yeah.
And people thought a fan attacked. And that was a commercial break. And people are, like, losing it and talking about it. So people are tuning in. But really, it was the wedding.
It was the wedding official.
Priest.
I remember that.
And it was all, yes. And it was all because that was their hook. And that was Vince's idea. And it's like, oh my God, that was so brilliant. Yeah, I could not believe it. I was, because I, if I was a fan, I always go, if I always think, oh, if I'm, if I'm a viewer at home and all of a sudden I hear about someone crying, I'm like, oh my God, I'm tuning in right now. What the one did I miss?
I know.
So I've learned a lot. And, you know, with the writing, it just depends. I mean, yeah, it's just situational. I mean, there's been times that Paul has sat down with me and wrote things. Just depends. And then sometimes, like, you have to out there, you have to follow your gut. So just depends.
Well, before we plug WrestleMania, and I'll let you go, I do have one question that's maybe a little controversial, but I'm just curious. How do you guys handle the dirt sheets in the back? Like, and for people that don't know what that is, there is the Dave Meltzers and the Bruce Mitchells and the Jason Powells of the world who all write about wrestling. And they write about wrestling backstage and the business of it. And sometimes it's correct, and sometimes I've heard from a lot of wrestlers, it's utter horseshit. So do you guys let that affect you at all, what the press writes about you, what the dirt sheets write about you, or do you not bother with that at all? Rusev is someone that's talked about a lot with the wrestling subscription newsletters.
Yeah.
Is this something you guys...
to me, it's so hilarious.
Okay.
It's hysterical. Like, I lay on the floor laughing. It's just, you know, thankfully, I feel like I'm the Kim Kardashian of WWE, to be honest.
You are. That's a great comparison. You are.
Yes. I actually just had a major self-discovery as I was saying that. I'm like, that's literally what I am. And that's great because I love Kim. Like, I'm obsessed with the Kardashians, so I'll totally take it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, she's always in the news.
Yes.
Always. Always making headlines. Either controversy making headlines, or, like, she named, like, her clothing line Kimono, so then it's, like, a racial controversy. Like, it doesn't matter. It's, like, either good stuff or controversial. Stuff, but she's always in the news, and I feel like that's me with the dirt sheet. Like, I'm always in the news. Like, it's either like, oh my God, nuclear heat, Lana has nuclear heat, OMG, everyone hates her backstage. That was like a headline for a year, which was hysterical to me.
Yeah.
And or then there was like another headline that Rusev and I had for like a year and a half. It was like, oh my God, Rusev got in a backstage fight with like Road Dogg and over Lana's creative, and they're leaving either on their farewell tour.
Yeah, supposedly supposedly you two have been leaving, or your contract's up for like 5 years. I'm like, this is the longest contract renewal of all time. I'm like, when are you two leaving?
So true. I know.
All people talk about is like they're leaving. They're leaving. They're leaving. I'm like, shouldn't they have left by now?
I know. It's so funny. And so it's like with me now, like the contract, like they'll find something else that like talk about. But like now with Miro, it's like with Rusev, it's always like something about his contract, and every week it's something different, and it's literally comical to me.
And like, how does he look at it when he reads this? Is he like, this information is false? Some of it's true. All of it's true. Like, how does he take all this in?
Well, I think that a lot of WWE superstars backstage in general, are like, I think a lot of people just think it's ridiculous and funny, and people just laugh a lot about it, like a lot of people backstage. But then you do have like a couple people that, you know, they say they don't care, and they say that like they're not reading into it, but they're totally reading into it. And you're like, wow, you're literally changing your character and your hair and your promo because of some dirt sheet. I can't with you. I'm done.
Well, I know for a long time, Chris Jericho was, and he's admitted this, he's talked about it, so I don't think I'm talking out of school, but Chris Jericho was very involved with the dirt sheets. He's friends with Dave Meltzer. He's like, and he listens to the internet crowd quite often. He's also a genius in how he reinvents himself, but I know there are certain wrestlers.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's the best. But there are certain wrestlers that like you say, they're like, oh, I don't read the dirt sheets. And then they show up with a new beard next week and new gear. And
but I feel like with Chris Jericho, though, the thing about him is that he doesn't, like, the majority of his like heel career, his villain career, I feel that he might read it and then do like, maybe this is what I do a little bit. And I, once again, Chris is someone that I've learned a lot from because, I've done so many, I was able to do a lot of segments with him and he talk about like, doesn't matter what's on the paper. That's a perfect example. When I did, Raw and Jericho, he literally like, they rewrote the promo. We had a promo and he goes, we're not doing this. And I'm like, okay, this is my first year. So I'm paranoid. Right. I'm like, okay. And then like, I'm not even kidding. 15 minutes before we go live, Seg 1, another promo, completely other written. He looks at it. He's like, we're not doing this. Just follow my lead. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's like, one thing, just do it. Like,
did you think you were going to get like, fired?
Part that I go, shut up.
Do you think you're going to get fired at that point?
No, I was just like, what is happening? I think I really love like, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Like, I feel like I'm like losing my mind and I'm loving it.
So what happened? Said, you guys go out there?
So we go out there and, you know, we basically ad-lib the whole thing. And then like, he wanted me to go, like, start going, shut up and losing my mind, which we did. And the whole segment was great. It was like such a learning experience. And, you know, being out there with Chris Jericho and Co, John Cena, The Rock, you know, these people that are like so incredible, you know, the top people. And, the couple things that are very like common denominator in all of them is one, they listen to the crowd, like all of them. And so back to like how that changes. But also they just, it's not even, I think, and this is where I think they're just good actors. And I think this is why John Cena and The Rock have crossed over so well to Hollywood is because they also just listen. So they're listening to the person, like the crowd, they're listening to the person they're doing the promo with. It isn't just lines like that they've rehearsed in the back 15 times over and over again to a mirror without even their scene partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're actually listening. We're having a dialogue. We're not just having a monologue rehearsed. We're having a dialogue. And so on a dime, they can switch it if for some reason they feel like it's not right. And especially with the crowd, they'll switch things like that. And you just have to go with it.
I love that you know the difference.
Make the best stuff.
Yeah, I love that you know the difference between improv and ad-lib, because every time I listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast and he says, oh, we improvised it, I go, no, that's not improv, Bruce, that's ad-lib. Like, there's...
I don't want, different. Oh, God.
I don't want to have I don't want to have that fight with him, but there's a huge difference. But
huge.
So what happens when you go back...
That's the one thing about Chris that he did. The one thing that he did that was really good was that he would, if like when he came out with the scarf, I don't know if you remember that, he came to Monday Night Raw with the scarf and everyone backstage was talking shit about it. It was so funny. They're like, oh, look at this moron. Next thing you know. And so that's why he decided to do it, because everyone was talking shit. He's like, okay, I'm a heel. This is great. Then he went on out on Monday Night Raw. Everyone was like dogging it. All of Twitter, everyone. And then he's like, shut up, you stupid idiot. People were dogging it. Like, literally being like, that's the way to go, Chris. Like, that's so intelligent, you stupid idiot. Dogging it. Within 6 months, everyone is like, he's a good guy. Everyone's doing stupid idiot, like, chants and stuff. I'm like, I can't.
It's hilarious because in his book, in his last book, I think it was his last book, he was talking about how Vince was dogging him about the scarf. He's like, what's with the scarf?
Oh, yeah.
What's with the scarf?
Yep.
So what happens when you guys go backstage and you didn't do the promo that was written for you? What's the reaction?
Well, that's like another thing that like Paul Heyman has taught me is like, you know, you have to follow your gut and you got to follow your instinct, but you also have to be ready that when you walk behind that curtain, that you take responsibility behind it. Yeah. And so if it goes well, your choice. And John Cena would say the same exact thing. He talks about it saying calculated risk. And to be great, you have to take calculated risk. But he goes, then, you know, you have to be prepared when you come back that you might get ringed. Like, you have to be ready to suffer the consequences. If it, one, doesn't go well, if it doesn't get the reaction that you want. And then also if you get in trouble for it, like you have to stand behind, like take, once again, going back to what Vince said, take responsibility for your actions. And so, you know, there was, you know, a couple of different times that we might have done some things differently, and, you know, maybe times were differently or whatever. And then, you know, we were very like applauded, said it was like incredible segment, incredible acting, incredible promos by like, you know, everyone, like standing ovations, basically. Yeah. The promos that the internet dogged me out on, I'm having like full on clapping, standing ovations.
Yeah, those are the ones that made you a star, like, right? Yeah.
Yes, like standing ovations from, you know, like the creative team, from like the Michael Hayes's and Paul Heyman's and Vince, and the Seth Rollins, Bray, like all the boys, all the guys and girls. And so, it's just the way people, it's hysterical, but you know, you have to be prepared that like, if you come back and it's for some reason, if you didn't hit your times or you did something a little bit differently, that maybe you're going to get fined. Maybe you're going to, you know, be taken off TV and whatever. You have to be prepared for that. And so that's why that goes back to following your gut. Like if there is in my gut a little, like if I'm like, I should do this, but there's a little bit of like, just a little bit of something like, I don't do it. It has to be like, no, like I am 100% like, no, I can stand behind my decision.
Yeah.
If do you get to
I mean, I don't know if you're able to talk about this or not, but do you get to see Chris at all at AEW now? Is there anything you've seen of his that you've just loved? I mean, he's been doing like really classic stuff.
I don't know if I can probably talk about that on like, okay, in general.
That's fair, but but he's been doing some really great stuff, and it just goes back to what you were saying about how he's been like, you know, just he's a legend.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely incredible. Like he's like I remember him doing like live events on Monday Night Raw, not like just our live events. So, but in 2017, he was actually on like the whole year on Monday Night Raw. So he came to all the live events and tours and everything. And at one point, the list, what you know, was the biggest heel thing.
Yeah,
it was so over as like the whole place would get booed when he created list. Then he created, then it started to get cheered. And so to watch what he would do, this is where I learned so much of how to be like a good, like being a good heel on, being a good villain on the mic, is he would change it. Like he would be like, oh, you guys want to be on the list? You guys want to be on the list? And everyone would be like, yeah. He's like, none of you guys are making the list. And it was the whole place booed. And it's just like, he was able to turn like just classic of like, as a bad guy, you take away what the viewer, what the crowd wants.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's just classic being a villain, you know, and it's like, it's just WWE and, you know, all these legends like Chris Jericho, Paul Heyman, Vince McMahon, you know, all these people have, especially these people who have been great bad guys on television throughout the years, have just really taught me how to be a great bad guy. And I feel finally now when you're like, we feel like you kind of broke in, I feel like it probably was like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, like a year and a half ago, almost two, that I finally felt like, oh my God, I got, like, I understand. And yeah.
Well, hold on. The last thing is from my 8-year-old nephew wanted to ask you something. Let's here you go, Liam. Here's Lana.
How long have you been working out?
How long have you been working out?
Because
he wants to be a wrestler, so he's trying to get his workout tips.
Oh, nice. Well, I started dancing at 10, so I've been working out all. But I always, even before that, I played sports. So I played soccer and softball. So, you know, just get in the sport. You should play like some type of sport. Like soccer's a great sport.
He's doing karate right now, and then he's doing baseball.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he wants to be like Aleister Black a little. He loves Ali. Do you love Rusev?
Yes.
Yes. Do you like Bobby Lashley?
Not that really.
Not that really. Not Bobby Lashley.
I'm done with you. I'm done.
Well,
I'm going to give you all the bad advice now.
What else did you want to say, Liam, before we let CJ go?
How long have you been
a wrestler?
How long have you, been, a wrestler?
Yeah. How long have you been a wrestler?
I have been a wrestler, since 2013. It's when I started wrestling.
That's seven years.
My very first headlock takeover was in 2013.
Yeah. So thank Lana for answering your questions.
Thank you.
Well, CJ, thank you so much for doing this. WrestleMania, of course, is coming up in 10 days? Something like that? 11 days?
Yeah.
Because it's two nights now.
Bobby Lashley versus Aleister.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley versus Aleister Black. Lana will be in Bobby's corner. It's two nights because I believe the line over at the WWE is it's too big for one night. So We got two nights of WrestleMania.
Two nights.
And we really thank you for doing this. You know, the WWE started that podcasting deal with Endeavor. You should get your own podcast. You're great at this.
Thank you. My mom keeps on telling me that.
Yeah, so you should.
I was going to say something like a really quick story.
Yeah,
about,
go ahead.
The WrestleMania match.
Oh, please.
In 2013, on my birthday, I got called to get signed with WWE. Like, I had done a month tryout, and it was actually 6 months tryout. And, you know, Triple H came, and then we had to do a month, 12 of us girls had to do this month training, and they only signed 5 of us. And I was one of the 5 girls that they called, and it was on my birthday. So 2013, 7 years ago, on my birthday, I got called to get signed with WWE. And then on my birthday yesterday, they announced on WWE that we have a match with versus Aleister. Bobby and Aleister and I will be involved. So I'm really excited. And it was just like a really cool birthday present because I didn't think I was going to be in WrestleMania. So,
no, it's great that you are.
And I know it is like not in front of a, you know, crowd, and it's different, but it's like, you know, we want to put smiles on people's faces regardless of the situation. And that's what, you know, WWE is here to do, is to put smiles on people's faces. And so it's really, you know, I've been looking at it because my mom is like, oh, are you going to be able to travel? And I'm like, well, I'm just, you know, we're here trying to like bring people some joy in this time that like the world is in crisis and people are at home, and hopefully we'll bring a little bit of joy into people's homes during this time.
And by the way, happy birthday. A bunch of people told me on Facebook. I just started Twitter. I just joined like this week, so I have no Twitter friends, but Facebook, everyone says happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. I mean, Wikipedia is wrong, by the way. They have my wrong year and date. My birthday was yesterday, but it's funny because I get the texts and messages on both dates. I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, I hope we get to bump into each other down the road. Hopefully you're acting in something of ours or we're working together at some point, because I think you're a hell of a talent. And thank you so much for doing this, and I hope you do it again soon. I hope we are able to have another talk with you in the future.
Thank you. And then other versions of you too,
yeah,
is available if anyone wants to watch it. And it's a movie that I produced, and I also starred in as the supporting role. And it's a completely other movie character that you can see me in, compared to the Ravishing Russian or to Cosmic Sin. So,
and that's on VOD. That's on VOD and iTunes. Yeah. And yeah, is it on Amazon Prime? Do you know?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, great. So another version of you could check out. I know you're very proud of that, and we're very proud of you becoming an actress and doing all this. I'm super excited for you, genuinely.
Thank Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
That means so much to me. Thank you.
You're welcome, and the best to you, and the best to the husband, and enjoy WrestleMania, and let's catch up down the line.
Sounds good.
Thank you, perfect. CJ.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Bye there.